Sit. I am very grateful to be among all of you this evening. Special thanks to Kunjabihari, Madhupriya, Vidhi, Prerna, Shiva, and this wonderful family for arranging this event, providing us the opportunity to come together to share the most precious exchanges of spiritual relationships. Bhakti means relationship. Sometimes the word bhakti is translated as devotion. But the great saints or acharyas have given a deeper explanation. They translate it as devotional service. Where there is service, there is relationship. Relationships are what fulfill the deepest needs of the heart. Things cannot fill that vacuum. You can have a house, nice house. You can have a nice car. You can have nice clothes and ornaments. But they cannot in any way give fulfillment to the heart, only to the mind and senses. What gives fulfillment to the heart is satisfying relationships, relatives, friends, lovers. According to the particular modes of nature we may be influenced by, real pleasure comes through relationship. When relationships are frustrated, life is frustrated. And people take shelter of non-living things. People take shelter of the pursuit of money, the pursuit of objects. And even after having all of those things without proper relationships, people take shelter of intoxications to forget that dreary void within their heart. For many people, they can't find it with people, so they try to have that relationship with a cat or a dog. I know one person who found that relationship with a goat. Because we have to have access to repose our propensity to love somewhere. And if that is not there, it's frustrating. And because relationships in this world, based on the mental and physical platform, are temporary. And because generally people are misguided to develop relationships based on our own selfish ego, what I could get from this person, it's frustrating. Either we disappoint each other, or we just really get on each other's nerves. or our partner or our friend dies, or just really disappoints us, or we disappoint them. Yes, relationships are difficult because you invest your heart in a relationship, and therefore you're most vulnerable to have your heart broken. If two people really just have a very superficial relationship with each other and the other disappoints them, you just say, so what, and go on with your life. But if you really invest your emotions, your affection, your faith in each other, and that person disappoints you, it's devastating. In fact, most of the songs in the last 40 years, 50 years, are about broken hearts. In India too? In the West, definitely. For every one song, popular song, that's about how we're happy together, there's at least 20 songs about... about the torment, the agony of a broken heart, a lost love. And even if you are happy together, disease, death could come at any time. So yes, investing your heart in a relationship puts you in an extremely vulnerable situation, vulnerable and subject to the deepest pain. And in order to deal with that, philosophers and spiritualists have given a door to walk through, which in their mind solves the problem forever. That all relationships, all personality is Maya. It is an illusion. Ultimately, the truth is beyond all relationships, beyond all form, beyond all personality, where we simply exist forever. There's no distinction between people. There's just a oneness. And we all merge into that oneness. Or there's just a void, nirvishesh or sunyavad, where we all just become that void. And therefore, no more being vulnerable to the pain of broken heart. No longer subjected to the agony of birth, old age, disease, or death. There's no more love. And no more of the frailties of love. There's simply pure, unending being, existence. That is one conception of mukti or nirvana. But that does not fulfill the essential need of every living heart. We have the greatest need for loving relationship. Because it's the greatest pleasure, it also gives the greatest pain when it's frustrated. Bhakti teaches that relationship on the platform of truth is the highest fulfillment, and it is not subjected to the vulnerabilities of this illusory plane. That essentially we are all eternal souls, Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And we are all part and parcel, mamaivam so jivaloke, of the Supreme Soul, or God. And God is all-attractive. Krishna means the all-attractive one, beyond all sectarian conceptions. whether one is a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or a Sikh or a Hindu, who would deny that God is supremely beautiful? Supremely wealthy. He has all knowledge, all strength, all fame, all renunciation. He's all attractive. And our relationship with Krishna is forever. It has simply been forgotten. In that forgetfulness, we're trying to replace that experience with the mortal things of this world. The highest truth is the relationship of the soul within our own body with the Supreme Soul, or God. And in that relationship is the pure, perfect relationship between all living beings. When we develop our relationships in reference to that love that is within us for God, and we share our love for God with each other, and share our love for each other in reference to the truth, then those relationships are ultimately fulfilling. And even in death, when a devotee dies, there is great sorrow. When a loved one dies, there must be sorrow. But that sorrow is very different than for a person who doesn't understand our real connection to that person. There's no sorrow for the soul. We understand that in our relationship with God, the souls are eternally bound together. There is just a temporary separation on the physical plane. When we come together as we are tonight, we are coming to cultivate real relationships based on real spiritual principles with each other. We are not men or women. We're not American or Russian or Indian. We're not rich or poor. These are all temporary designations. We're developing our relationships on the basis of who we really are. Children of God, parts of God, spirit souls. And on that level, we could tolerate, we could forgive, and our relationships and the affection that we share become greater and greater and greater as time evolves. But what not without test? For real relationships to have meaning and substance, we must understand what is the meaning of love. Love is not selfish. Love is selfless. Love is the willing to make sacrifice for the object of our love. And when we share that spirit amongst each other, there is no power within the world that can disturb our relationships. How to do that? Because we all have our false egos, we all have our different ways, we all have our habits, we all have our minds and our conditionings. For a relationship to be real and strong, we have to focus by making the priority of our relationship that higher principle, not the temporary, superficial reasons that we like each other. I may like the way you look, and you may like the way I look. Not too many people like the way I look, actually. but we may like each other in that way, but our looks are going to change. 1 minute you're like this, then you're like that. 1 minute you're like this, then you're like that. The body changes, and the mind changes. Faster than the raging wind, the mind may change. And different situations bring about different conditionings from each other that we may have never expected. How do we tolerate and maintain that respect, maintain that dignity between each other? It's really only possible when we're united on a higher principle. In the mode of goodness, that higher principle is morality. Two people may be married. They really start getting on each other's nerves. All of a sudden, things about each other just start coming out that we never expected. If I knew that you were like this, I would have never married you. Possibly every married couple say these things sometimes. I don't know, but I'm guessing.
The answer is yes.
My dear God brother is speaking with realization. He said, yes, it is true. So in the mode of goodness, we have taken our vows for the sake of the children, for the sake of morality. We will dedicate ourselves and rise above these differences and somehow or other resolve it on that higher principle. Now, bhakti goes beyond the mode of goodness. Prabhupada and the scriptures tell you can't really perform bhakti properly until you're on the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is like a launching pad where you could take off onto the transcendental platform. So yes, we are dedicated for a higher principle of morality. But why? Because it is our service to God to work it out between each other. We are here to help each other to love Krishna. No matter what, I have committed myself to help you to love Krishna, and you have committed yourself to help me to love Krishna. And together as a team, we're trying to help others to love Krishna. And that higher principle can resolve all these flickering differences. Yesterday we gave example of the waves on the river, always changing. But when you go deep, there's no waves. It's still. We have to dive deep below the surface of our emotions and our minds and our senses to the essence of life. Our relationship with each other and our relationship with God. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his entire pastimes are about one thing: relationships. In inducing love of God in each other through our relationships. And the most beautiful relationships, the most unconditional, enjoyable, loving affairs. Not the romantic type, but the type that really comes from the heart and from the soul. And we read that in the spiritual world, beyond this world of birth and death, beyond the Brahma Jyoti, where those who want to extinguish all relationships can reside, beyond that is Vaikuntha, a place where forever the most intimate loving relationships amongst all living beings in that place, all centered and focused around serving one another for the pleasure of Krishna, the all-attractive. Today we are gathered to give blessings and prayers for the soon-to-be marriage of Vidhi and Abhinava. They're getting married on February 15th, yes, here in Mumbai. Vidhi is like the daughter to all of us. Very sweet devotee. Very simple and pure heart. She loves Krishna very much. She loves a lot of other things too. You know where they're going for their honeymoon?
No idea.
They're going bungee jumping. Is that what it's called? Bungee jumping. They go in an airplane. How many feet above sea level? 15,000 feet, yes? 15,000 feet above sea level in New Jersey, and then they jump out of the plane, and some sort of a rubber rope or something they start bouncing around on. Anyways, it's a good opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. Maybe we could all learn how to chant sincerely by bungee jumping. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Very exciting honeymoon. But they'll soon be getting married, and Abhinav is a radio announcer, jockey, yeah, that's what they call, radio jockey. And wonderful, wonderful, sincere, good-hearted gentleman. And he has become our very dear friend. And Madhupriya Devi and Kunja Bihari were very, very eager to have this program so that we could have kirtan, have little katha, so that they could serve all of the guests and devotees wonderful prasad. Because this is actually how we receive blessings. Anyone can ask, give me blessing. But when you serve people nicely, with love and affection, without even asking, blessings pour from that person's heart. Yes? It is science. So we are all here together to bless Abhinava and Vidhi for their coming marriage. And in this day and age, a lot of blessings are required for a marriage to work. Not only a lot of blessings, but a lot of willingness to access those blessings. And a lot of sacrifice and a lot of tolerance and really coming together on a higher platform, making that the focus. Then there can be real love. Love for Krishna, love for each other. And also, Kunja Bihari Prabhu's father, Om Prakash Arora, passed away very recently. Wonderful man, wonderful friend. And we request all the devotees to offer a prayer to Radha Gopinath for the mercy of the Lord upon his eternal soul. And now at this time, I would like to ask my senior and beloved godbrother, Yogeshwar Prabhu, to speak. As far as relationship, My dear friend Gary is here. Can you stand up, Gary? Now, if you look at him and you look at me, you will see two very different species. Yes, do you all agree? Once, I have said it many times, once we were at a Baha'i temple in Winnetka, Illinois, and he said to me, "How can we be such good friends? My livelihood is convincing people that they'll be happy if they have big, strong bodies, and your livelihood is convincing people that they're not the body." So there's a not-so-subtle difference there. But yet, we became friends when we were about 8 years old, and now we're both 58 years old. That means our relationship is golden anniversary. Really, it's our golden anniversary. 50 years. But still, there's so much love and respect because, you know, despite all the difference, our relationship in its own way is very much on a spiritual platform of dedication, forgiveness, tolerance, and really seeing the essence within each other and loving that essence and being faithful to that essence. So we welcome you, Gary. And there's another very special celebrity, Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. Please stand up. Now, there's not so much difference in this one. We've known each other for 37 years. And our respect and our love and appreciation has only grown. How is that? And actually, you know, we lived in the same little house for several years, an old broken down farmhouse. And all day it was just the two of us. He would cook and I would offer the food to the deities. We had so many things to fight about, but we hardly ever fought because our relationship was for the higher principle of Krishna in the center. So it's something wonderful. Lifelong relationships, eternal relationships of the soul. And Yogeshwar Prabhu, I can say honestly from my heart, he is one of the most brilliant, soft-hearted. He has everything. He has such a soft, deep, emotional heart. He has such a brilliant, creative intelligence. He has such deep love for Prabhupada and Krishna. And he's such a faithful and dedicated friend. I'm so grateful that you're here. We request you to please enlighten us on the subjects.
That's called a hard act to follow. What do you say after something like that? I'm sitting here thinking he's going to ask me to speak. And what am I supposed to say of that can possibly be of any enhancement to these beautiful words about true loving relationships? And there's only one thing that comes to mind, and that's Srila Prabhupada. So if you don't mind, I'll just take 2 minutes to tell you a little bit about Srila Prabhupada.
We mind if it's only 2 minutes. To your heart's content, please.
To those of you who may still be on the fence about whether Krishna is real or just mythology, let me reassure you that he's real, because I have seen Srila Prabhupada's love for Krishna And nobody can love a myth the way Srila Prabhupada loved Krishna. I remember one time we installed the deities at the Paris temple, very beautiful deities, and we wanted to make it a big surprise for Prabhupada that the deities would be there on the altar, so we took him on a very long morning walk. And then when we got back to the temple, we were still rushing to get everything ready. But we thought we had it all in place. And then Prabhupada came in the door, and he stood looking at Radha Parasishwara, 10, 15 minutes just standing, just looking at them up and down. And the tears were streaming down his cheeks, streaming down his cheeks. And the kirtan was going on, and Prabhupada turned and went to the other end of the room and sat on the Vyasasan and took the edge of his dhoti and was drying his eyes. And then the kirtan ended, and he began his lecture by saying that the meditation on Krishna begins from the lotus feet. We don't look directly at the face of the Lord. We start humbly by meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord. And then gradually, as we progress in our spiritual life, we rise up to the beautiful shining face of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada said, because the meditation on the Lord begins from his lotus feet, therefore I'm wondering, where are the ankle bells? And sure enough, in our impatience and our haste to prepare everything, we had neglected to put Krishna's ankle bells on his feet. Prabhupada noticed and was asking us, where are the ankle bells? And, you know, sometimes Srila Prabhupada could be very strict. After all, he was carrying the torch of the Vaishnav tradition, a very noble, ancient, distinguished tradition. And so in his writings, in his lectures, he would be very, very strict. Let me reassure you about something, if you have any doubts about this at all. In his personal life, you have never met such a warm, caring human being. Often when I would come to see him, he'd look at me and say, oh, Jogeshwar. You know, pronounce the yo with the Y like a J, you know, and being, oh, Jogeshwar, you're here. How is your wife? That was the first thing he was always asking me. How is your wife? It happened so much, I was beginning to get a little angry. And I was like, well, I'm a person too. What about me, you know? And so he said, no. He said, this is important. He said, relationships between husbands and wives are important. He said, don't fight. And then he said this, and this you won't hear in any Bhagavad Gita class. He said, husband and wife should love each other. And he said it just like that, right from deep down. He said, husband and wife should love each other. Otherwise, the relationship becomes dry. Now here's a sannyasi acharya reminding me to love my wife. And it's just as Radhanath Maharaj is describing, you know, that's the essence of Krishna consciousness, that's the essence of Bhagavad Gita. I mean, what is Bhagavad Gita after all? Two friends who love each other more than anything. Arjuna and Krishna loved each other. They were friends from childhood. They were family members. Arjuna was married to Krishna's sister. They were family members. And at one point, when Krishna reveals his universal form, Arjuna apologizes. He says, I'm so sorry. Sometimes when we'd be playing together or resting together or lying down or just talking, you know, I'd be calling you my friend, you know. And I'm so sorry I forgot who you really are, you know. That's the beauty, isn't it? That we develop such love for Krishna that, yes, he's God, but we don't let that get in the way. The love is there. It's so deep. And I've seen it in Prabhupada. That's the one thing I can convey to you. He had such feeling for every living being. His room at the London Temple, not Bhaktivedanta Temple, on Soho Street, which is where I joined back in December of 1969. His room was, the building was very small. George Harrison had signed the lease on the building. It was a beautiful, elegant little building. But the rooms were small. And Prabhupada's bathroom, we built a wall. We put up a dividing wall so that his servants' quarters were actually the second half of the bathroom. So on this side was Prabhupada's facilities, and then on the other side there was a small space for his secretaries and servant. And the wall divided a window. At the end of the bathroom there was a window. So I was in the servants' quarters with Shamsundar and a couple of other devotees, and then we hear, who is responsible for this? Where the voice is coming from, we didn't know. And we looked, and there was Srila Prabhupada peeking around the partition like this. And he was showing that just at the windowsill was a plant, a little plant, that was drying up for lack of water. And Prabhupada would say, who is responsible? You must take care. And from the sink, he splashed some water into the pot for the plant. He's thinking about the well-being of this little plant. We would go on walks with him. You know, Prabhupada brushed his teeth with neem twigs. In London, you can't get neem twigs very easily, at least in those days. But you can get from a willow tree. A branch of a willow was a good substitute, weeping willow. So we were walking in New Hyde Park, and there was a willow tree. And Prabhupada asked his secretary, please get some twigs for brushing. So, can't remember who it was. Nandakumar, maybe, went up and took one twig off the tree. And then he took a second twig off the tree. And he was reaching up to take a third twig. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, 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 no. Do not disturb more than necessary. He didn't want to disturb the tree by taking more twigs than necessary. You know. So he'd be thinking about the well-being of a simple little plant, of a tree. What to speak of all of you? Maybe this doesn't get said too often or often enough, but Prabhupada loved you. Prabhupada loved us so, so deeply. So deeply that we were coming forward to help him with his mission. So thank you very, very much for your service. It's my great honor to be here tonight with you. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Is that okay?
It is wonderful. Thank you. Everyone, he wants to know if that was okay. Okay means, oh, Krishna. Shall we have kirtan for a few minutes? Will you dance with me?